Hey there, this is Joshua. Thank you very much for joining us here today. So I want to start with telling you about an experience that I had recently that got me thinking about a lot of interesting things. I was at a hotel a couple weeks ago, and it was a really, really nice place. It was like a spa resort kind of spot, and they had really great food, really nice buffets for a lot of the meals, and really fine dining, and a really incredible spa that had all different kinds of saunas and steam baths, and it was really, really a unique place that we had a really nice opportunity to go there, my wife and I. And we had about just, I think it was about 3 nights there, so 4 days. And it was when I walked in, it was almost like I was in Disney World. Like this is like adult Disney World for me. Not that there's rides or anything, or even water slides or anything. It's just like for me, this is the opportunities there, the attractions there, the things to do were so exciting. And it's in the mountains, so there's all kinds of hiking and all kinds of great stuff to do around there. And as I went in, it was almost like I just got excited, like literally like it's almost as if I was a kid in Disneyland, because I wanted to be able to do everything. I wanted to take it all in. I wanted to have all these different experiences. You really savor the food and savor the spa and all the different things you could do there, and the hiking and the nature and all the stuff going on around there. And what ended up happening was, because I was so excited and I didn't want to miss out, I actually noticed that I was getting kind of anxious. Not like disturbed anxious, but just like I just wasn't really settled because I wanted to have the experience so much. And as I was going through this, I got to the first day and a half or so, what happened was, and I started to realize that there's something kind of ironic going on. And it was that I was so afraid that I'll miss out on some of the experiences that were there to participate in and take advantage of. I was so afraid to miss them that I actually was missing them. And I know it sounds kind of strange, but that's really in many ways what's happening, because in the middle of like one great meal, I'd be so excited about all the different foods I could try and the things that I was going to do afterwards, that as much as like I really wanted to be savoring it, my mind was already kind of racing on to the next thing. I was already racing ahead to what I was going to do later that morning or in the afternoon. And I realized what an easy habit this is to fall into. And the truth is that really life can be like that we're always moving on and just racing towards that next thing. And I think we all probably do this to some extent. It got me thinking, it's kind of like a dog that's always following and looking for, chasing that next scent. Have you ever been with a dog in the woods or in a park? The dog is always searching around, looking for a scent that it can lock onto, looking for that next thing, going from one thing to the next. And that's really, I think, in many ways what happens to us, is we end up going from one thing to the next, always moving on, looking for that next thing that's going to satisfy us. I came across a definition recently that I thought was really interesting. It didn't make sense at first, but the more I thought about it, it really started to sink in. I actually realized to me, it was very powerful. So I want to share it with you. It's actually a definition of greed. Now, this is a little bit different because this is really almost like an internal psychological description of greed. It's not what you hear in the news of, greedy corporations or greedy politicians. And that's how it gets used in social situations, someone who's taking more than is their share. But this is really a different way of looking at it from just an internal like psychology perspective. And here's the definition. Greed is I need more to make me happy. Let me say that again. I need more in order to make me happy. And the more I sat with this, the more I realized that in some ways this is so much the human condition, so often for so many of us. And it shows up constantly in our thinking. It's that like dog chasing a scent, constantly moving from one thing to the next, looking for that next thing that's going to satisfy us. It starts with a cookie or a soda or a cup of coffee or a latte. But if you really look at and watch your thinking and you track your thinking over time, it isn't just food. It becomes the next car or more money or sex or a new boyfriend or girlfriend or food or toys. And if you really start to notice, you see how much your mind can just wander from one thing to the next. It's always moving forward to that thing that's next. It's like me in the hotel, just leaving the present moment and just going to what's next and not really being present. And again, it could be the cookie and the coffee or the soda, but then it becomes the next promotion or the bigger house. And it just becomes this endless pursuit of trying to satisfy ourselves. You know, what do I want? What's going to satisfy me? And this happens unconsciously. We're just doing it like this dog, just looking for scents all the time, looking for that next movie, that next source of entertainment, that next distraction, just looking for the next thing that's going to satisfy. It's like sort of like a metal detector just scanning over the sand, but just going endlessly back and forth, looking for those beeps, looking for that stimulation, looking for that thing of satisfaction. So going a little bit further with it, one of the things that really got me thinking about was what are we looking for when we're doing that? And again, I think we all do that to at least an extent, that chasing that next thing is always looking to be satisfied with the next thing. What is it that we're looking for? What are we really pursuing? And I think the answer to it is happiness. And that may sound a little cliche, but if you think about it, what is the real drive that we all have in life? We all want to be happy. So in essence, those things we go looking to satisfy us, we're just there. It's like this metal detector looking for those little happiness signals, trying to find that thing that's going to give us happiness or a sense of satisfaction. Now, the way you can think about this is that every person right now is doing the best they know how in order to be happy. Think about that for a second. Everyone you know, yourself included, is doing the best job they can right now, given their current level of tools and resources and their abilities to make themselves happy. Because again, it's what we all want. It's what we're moving towards. It's what we're all in pursuit of, is that sense of being calm and satiated and at rest and feeling happy, really having what we want in life. So we all go looking for it, of course, in a whole bunch of different ways. It could be food, it can be drugs or alcohol, it could be shopping, it could be sex, it could be gambling, it could be moving from one relationship to the next. Those are the ways that end up being not so healthy to find it. But that's really, in many ways, what the drive is. Now, of course, we're primarily talking about food here, but I think that it's really an apt thing to think about, the way in which we look to food to provide that little sense of comfort. We want the next cookie, we want the next muffin, we want the next pizza, we want the next dinner, the next dessert, the next high-class restaurant. Me being in the hotel, wanted to go into the next thing to go see what else was up on the buffet that I could eat. The trouble, of course, is that food can never do that. It just can't do it. It's way too temporary by nature. I mean, food can bring us temporary sensory pleasure, you know, a sense of pleasure that we enjoy for the moment, but it's ultimately short-lived, and it's ultimately, truthfully, never going to be anything more than that. It can never give us that deeper sense of happiness or satisfaction that we want. But again, it doesn't necessarily stop us from trying over and over again to use food to satiate ourselves with food in that way. So before I move on, because I actually want to talk about some things we can do to change that habit or to change that pattern, because if we're not doing that, if you're not looking to constantly satisfy yourself, if you're not looking for that next thing, chasing that next scent, well, then what could you be doing? Because I think ultimately that's what we really want to be exploring, is what can we do, what kind of habits can we develop and have in place that are going to be more healthy and more fulfilling and won't damage our health, won't damage our weight, our ability to live it the way that we want. Because when we end up looking for food to play that role, to give us that deeper satisfaction, it's never going to work, and it's going to really interfere with us living the way we want to live. You're not going to be able to live at the weight that you want. You're not going to have the health that you want. Before I move on, though, there's one other thing that I want to mention about this idea of greed, what I talked about before, that sense of I need more in order to make me happy. And it's just a second aspect to it that I also want to bring up just to share with you. There's one more thing for you to think about. And it's the grasping aspect of it. You know, we have that experience of the pizza that was so amazing that we feel like we need to have it again. We want to go and do it again. And we also often just chase and try and grasp those experiences, trying to recreate them all the time. And if you really think about it, it's almost never as good the second or the third or the fourth time. And the truth is, because we're always trying to recreate that experience that was so naturally good. You have an amazing meal, you were maybe with good friends, and you're having a great time, and the food tastes really great, and it's the first time you've tried something, and it's like so outstanding, this pumpkin ravioli or whatever you're eating. But then when we want to go and recreate it, it's just, if you notice, it's never quite the same. When I actually used to do drug and alcohol counseling, Well, a lot of times if you talk to drug addicts, they'd say that when they tried a drug, their drug of choice for the first time, whatever it was, the first time was so extraordinary for them. It was so it just blew their mind, literally. And every subsequent time they went and used the drug, they ultimately were chasing that initial experience, always trying to recreate it, but they never could. And then at some point, whatever pleasure they were getting for it was overshadowed by the pain that was coming as a result of it, because they were just totally abusing the drug. The truth is that food really can become that way. Again, these things are just so temporary in nature. So let's really talk about what's the alternative, because if we all do this to some extent, then again, I want to focus on what can we be doing differently instead of just chasing that next scent, always looking for that next thing, looking for food as a way to try and get to happiness, so that we can find ways to be happy, again, if that's what we're all looking for, in a way that's not going to compromise our health. So there's a few things I want to talk about, a few things to share with you. The truth is, each of these could probably be its own call, because I could go much deeper into these, and I will come back to these in some future calls. But for the moment, I just want to share with you, I want to just give you a few things to think about to start to interrupt that pattern and start to find a way to be doing something differently. So the first one, and you've heard me say this endlessly if you've been on any of the other calls that I've done, and it almost sounds a little bit cliche at this point, but it's really slowing down and taking a deep breath, because we all get so ahead of ourselves and we get disconnected from our bodies. You know, our body is the seat of our experience. You know, everything happens in our body. When we get excited, when we get anxious, if you notice, you stop breathing, you know, or you get tense, your muscles start to get tense. When you're relaxed and when you're calm, when you're happy, usually you're more relaxed, you're breathing more fluidly, you're more at ease. So the thing to start to realize is that your body is the seat of your experience. It's the one thing that you really can control. You can't always control your mind and what your mind is doing. Sometimes we all get ahead of ourselves. But if you can start to build a habit of just coming back to your body and slowing things down, taking that deep breath, which stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system. I've talked about this before. It's that part of the body that's just simply in charge of relaxation, and the best way to stimulate it is through the breath. You just start to calm down, and we all have to do this sometimes throughout the day, many times, maybe dozens of times, to come back to ourselves and to realize that there's nothing outside of ourselves that's going to give us that happiness. That ultimately, the only thing that's going to really give us a sense of happiness is us changing the way we're approaching things from within, slowing things down, calming down, relaxing, realizing that we're in charge, and that we can be whole. We can have the sense of being whole and complete, but it has to come within. And again, the best way that I know how to do that is to just breathing and slowing down. And again, I'm going to come back to this. I'm just giving you a very sort of survey thoughts on that idea. But coming back to the present moment, slowing down, realizing that you're 100% in control internally of your experience, and you don't have to go on that roller coaster ride, being the dog running through the woods chasing those scents. Now, an extension of that, and this is so simple, and this one actually will sound cliche, and I know it does sound kind of silly almost, but it's just smiling. Again, coming back to this thing about the mind and the body that I was talking about before, again, you can't always control your mind, but you always have some control over what you do with your body. And as silly as this sounds, just smiling, the sheer act of just doing that can actually change your state. And I've really worked with this over time, because I know when I'm smiling, I naturally relax. It's a reminder for me to put me into a more positive state. And there's a lot of good things that can come out of smiling in life, but we have to just remind ourselves to just make that shift from the trance we get in of just running forward to the next thing over and over again, always chasing that thing, to just come back and realize that we can slow things down and just smile. And it's a really simple thing you can do with your body, a very simple physical act that actually can change your state. When you remind yourself just to put a smile on your face, it actually can relax you. And the truth is, a lot of really good things do come from smiling, and I'm a personal testimony to that. I actually met my wife because I smiled out with her. I'm not kidding. We were at the seminar, and everyone had to go around and introduce themselves, and it was my turn to introduce myself, and she turned around to just see who was talking, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I smiled. And what did she do? She smiled back. And what happened after that? I asked her out for a cup of coffee, and now I'm married to her for 2 years. So anyway, really good things come from smiling, aside from just changing your state. So another thing for you to think about. The next one is looking for healthy, positive things that will start to contribute to your happiness, but that won't compromise your health or make you overweight. So exercise is a really simple one. Talking with friends, reading books on personal development, going to workshops or seminars like I did and where I met my wife. You know, just forging good social connections with people that have nothing to do with food. Find a walking buddy, find a walking partner or a group, or get involved in something productive with your husband or wife. Go for a hike, take a class together. These may be simple cliche things, but literally sit down and start to think about what other things can you do besides something that's about consumption, you know, food being the first and foremost thing there, that starts to build that sense of the deeper sense of happiness that you're looking for in your life. The next one is being grateful for what you already have. If you think about that, when we're chasing more, when we're always looking for that next thing to satisfy ourselves, we're not being grateful. We're not slowing down and stopping and realizing that we have so many good things in our life. And I don't know what your spiritual beliefs are, but I've been very interested in spirituality and different religions, and I've studied Eastern philosophy quite a bit. And a common thread really seems to be the sense of really being grateful, because we all get so ahead of ourselves. We all get so far into the future, racing ahead to the next exit on the highway and just not being present where we're at and realizing that we have great things. And I really don't care how tough a time you may be having. There's things in your life that you can be grateful for and not take for granted. And it's something that we always do. Building on that, and again, it comes from my own readings and my own sense of different spiritual traditions, is generosity. You know, sometimes when we're just looking to satisfy ourselves, it's because we're just too caught up in our own life. We're just too caught up in our own story and our own drama. And if you really look at, again, another common thread in all these different faiths and traditions around the world is about serving others, about helping others, about being generous in one way. So it can be as simple as thinking about others or praying for the benefit of others, or volunteering or looking for ways you can contribute and just make a small difference in people's lives. And again, I think it's important because it takes us outside of ourselves. It's a way we get involved in the world rather than being involved in the pursuit of our own satisfaction, that endless, endless pursuit of always moving on to the next thing. And the last one that I want to share, actually two more, is just starting to really work with the urges that we have, say, for food or for anything else, and to realize that they really are temporary. You know, any cravings we have always pass. So it's really good, and it builds on that, taking a deep breath thing, to start to slow down and realize that you may be craving a cookie or you may be craving a chocolate bar or whatever it is that the urge comes up that you really want to have. But if you slow down and you breathe and you relax, you start to realize that the impulse really doesn't last. And everything, all these things are temporary by nature. It's what I said before about food. It can never give us real happiness, because it's temporary by nature. It's going to pass, and it's going to pass relatively quickly. And the last one, in some ways this may be the most important, and again, I could do a whole call on this, and I probably will, is loving yourself, being patient with yourself. Instead of chasing on to the next thing, turning your attention towards really asking yourself, you know, how do I feel about me right now? What's the relationship that I'm having with myself? Am I being judgmental towards myself? Am I beating myself up? Am I being my own friend right now, or am I being my own harsh critic? And it's always good to be coming back to that, because, you know, we all beat the crap out of ourselves some of the time, and a lot of people do it a lot of the time. So just to recap, what I really want you to be starting to just focus on in for this call is just becoming aware of the tendency in your mind and your thinking to just always be looking for that next thing, always moving forward in time away from the present moment towards that next thing that's going to give us a sense of satisfaction, whether it's a cookie or a new car or new curtains in your home or the new bathroom rug, just always being in that consumption mode of, I need something else to make me happy. Again, playing around with and thinking about that definition of greed that I shared with you. The sense that we all get into of, I need more to make me happy. I need something outside of myself in order to be happy. And then coming back and realizing that there's other things we can be doing instead of chasing these temporary pursuits of satisfaction that ultimately will not give us a real sense of happiness, but just keep us in that habit, in that pattern of always looking outside of ourselves to be satisfied and to be satiated. And then all these tools I shared with you, coming back to yourself, taking the deep breath, smiling, looking for healthy, positive things you can get yourself involved in, looking at this idea of gratitude and being able to really settle into being happy with what you've got and being grateful for that, and sharing and doing things you can to help others, noticing that the urges are going to be temporary regardless, and then just really being kind to yourself and not beating yourself up about things. You know, one last thing, one closing thought. I read this thing. I don't remember even where it came from. I think this was an Eastern philosophy, sort of like a Confucius Says kind of thing. And to say, it was talking about how our life is measured by the number of breaths that we have, and that each of us comes into life and we have a finite number of breaths that we'll be able to take in the course of our life. And when we take that last final breath, our life is over, and that's when it's finally over. And we never know what that number of breaths is. Now, I don't know if this is 100% true, but even if it's just a metaphor that we're using to think about our life, what it just makes me think is, if I've only got so many breaths, then how can I put that air to good use? So with that, I'm going to leave you for now. Have an awesome day, and I look forward to being back with you very soon. Take care.